My boy said he gonna pick up to watch a funeral. That is disgusting.
Yeah, it's gonna be Coach K. Well, I'm gonna be smoking that Coach K pack.
Okay. Is that K 2?
Is that K 3?
Man, he put what? A 20-piece, 1x20 last time. I don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow, man.
But you know that ain't gonna fucking matter. I'm hoping these dudes, I got faith that they're going to show up to be a spoiler, and that will fulfill my whole season, unfortunately, but it will. I'll be happy with him losing his last game against UNC. I'm going to be putting that pack in there if it happens, and I'm going to be quiet if it don't. So, you know, I'm going to go sit down somewhere.
That's about what I expect from Carolina fans on this. I mean, it's Coach K's last game that he'll ever play Carolina because not meeting in the tournament.
Yeah.
Could meet in the ACC tournament, so I take that back. But
probably not.
You know, I don't really think, you know, Carolina's going to go far. So
probably not.
It's looking like the last meeting, and I think, yeah, it means something. Roy had his last meeting.
Did they get stomped?
I mean, they weren't good, but. did Roy Williams win the last game?
Okay, we beat Duke one time by 4. Yep, and we smashed them by 18 on the last. Yeah. Damn. So I don't even remember that, even though I know I purposely didn't watch any college sports last year. But I usually would still hear about like. Damn, I ain't never hearing about that shit, but
it's just because last year both teams were ass. It was like both teams were unranked for the first time in like some like 20 something years or some shit like that, where Duke and North Carolina were both unranked. Like,
yeah,
it was just not memorable for either side. Neither team was good, you know. Duke was especially bad last year. I checked out mentally of last season after about the 5th loss just because our best player, Jalen Johnson, was not checked in with the team. And I was like, well, if he's not checked in, and then eventually, you know, he actually left. He shut his season down to go pro. It just wasn't a good look. I don't know.
I do remember hearing about that, yeah.
I don't remember if Coach K lost the locker room or what, because I can't even say Coach K lost the entire locker room, but, you know, we had a whole bunch of transfers. Just that whole team just didn't go. Like, Jamie Brakefield didn't go. Oh, boy, Henry Coleman, he left. Obviously, Johnson left. Not Roach, but the other dude, DJ Stewart, he left. Like, we lost. Like, that's 4 people off the top of my head I can think of that ain't here. And Stewart went to the league. Well, he went drafted, but he didn't get drafted, you know.
Yeah.
But 2 transfers from Duke that were actually playing, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. But Coleman and Brakefield, I think they both could have been better. But, I mean, we obviously kept Roach and Moore, and Roach and Moore are 2 of our best players right now. I know you say you haven't really been watching like that, but ACC basketball is kind of bad.
Yeah.
You know, Florida State at one point was leading the ACC after they beat Duke earlier in the season, and then they went, like, and completely shit the bed. So it was something crazy like that, right? Like, because they actually ended up with in the negative on, like, under 500 in ACC play.
That's wild. Yo, Florida State's good for either a Duke win or a Duke scare almost every year, I feel like.
I feel like that, too. Like, it's Florida State and Virginia Tech are the 2 that always just give Duke a hard time every single year. Usually might get a win off, especially Virginia Tech, because I don't know what it was about Virginia Tech during, like, a 5-6-year period. They would get – if we played twice, they would get 1 off on Duke every year.
Mm.
But I feel like this is a year – and I don't say this very lightly, right? Because – everyone loves the "it's our year" type talking shit, right? But The more I think about Duke's championship winning teams, or the teams that I think could have or should have won championships, this team has started the whole season, has pieced together like one of those teams. You know, this big dominant presence in the middle for me is a big, big factor, right? Mark Williams, Theo John holding down the physicality in the middle. You got Paolo who can be dominant in the middle, but he's kind of got a little bit of that Anthony Davis in him, that big man that wants to play out mm-hmm. when he should be big in the middle. he's 6'10", 250, falling in love with the, you know, 20-foot fader. But to see and that. Then we obviously – but we do have Paolo who, when he's on, is one of the most efficient scorers in the country as well as a playmaker. Passing out of the post, he's very good at that. And then we got Trevor Keels and Roach and Wendell Moore, like big physical guards, like defensively. Mm-hmm. Like Duke is one of the best defensive teams in the country. This is one of the best defensive Duke teams I've seen in a minute. Like that 2015 team, this is about on par, like defensively with that team. And I'm really excited to see how that carries over in tournament time. Even the games that we've lost, you know, we've lost, I think, at most by like 4 points. A couple games we lost on the last, you know, shot. We had the lead in the last 2-3 minutes and just, you know, just lost on the last possession or two. And so, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you want to see cleaned up. Like, you don't want to see losses that, like, completely crush your morale and expose you per se. We haven't had that loss that this is how you beat Duke. It's like, yeah. Well, nah, like they had a bad shooting night and you got them by 1 point. So if for confidence reasons, I feel like this is should be one of the most confident teams. But how we feel about Coach K wrapping it up? This is his last for sure scheduled game. He's the next two games, like he can lose the next two games and be done, you know?
Yeah. I, you know, to be honest, you know, all jokes and shit aside, great coach, obviously. Wouldn't be around this long if he wasn't. They wouldn't be as successful. Duke was actually trash, and I think had always been trash before he got there, if I'm not mistaken. And he's shit. He's been there a long time, dog. He did adapt. He kind of was forced to have to adapt to kind of the whole recruiting process now and one and dones. And I was actually the other day, I actually was looking at UNC play, and I might have been some Duke highlights, and I was just like, it was crazy to think, you know, that these programs got guys with like braids and dreads, locks now. Because that would have never happened when I was growing up. Like the worst we had was Rasheed Wallace with that funny like spot on his head and not combing his hair. You know what I'm saying? Growing up, like that was extreme back then. So, man, well deserved praise, to be honest. I'm still gonna call him Rat Face and all that shit, but and I used to think I still think he cries a lot and whines and bitches. And I don't mean cry like crying, you know, when they lose at the end of the season and, you know, he doesn't have his guys anymore that are leaving, but just whines a lot. But it was some great battles, man. Some great fucking battles. And honestly, I mean, I respect Duke more than any other, like, college program just because, like I used to always say on here, I know Duke players, outside of UNC players, I know Duke players better than any other team that has existed in sports because, you know, we used to hate watch them.
Yeah.
We used to hate watch them. So I knew the players almost as good as I knew our players. So a lot of great players, man, a lot of great talent. Even like him keeping them good to where, you know, the Dukies come out and that place is still what it is. And that's still on my bucket list of places to go. Part of that's because of him. You know what I mean? Got to bring the players in and get them to execute in order for it to be a rivalry worth even having and hating, you know what I mean? And so salute to him. So I think he's been deserved this time off to relax if he can do that. And yeah, man, salute to him, man.
Hey, man, it means a lot coming from a Duke hater.
Mm-hmm.
extraordinaire,
for real,
fanatic such as yourself. Last year, when we got word that Roy Williams was retiring, we talked about it some, and I, on the other side of things, I basically gave similar respects and praise. Obviously, Roy Williams, 3-time champion. What more can you say? You know, I watched him go against Kay and in the most frustrating ways possible, beat us in years I thought he shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad time knowing that kind of like an era as a whole is done. You know, I grew up watching mostly UNC and Duke with Roy Williams, and because Roy Williams was like, what, 2003 when he started coaching?
So I mean, that like, sounds about right, somewhere in that
I was range. I was like 6, 7 years old. All right, so this is like the end of an era for me, the Roy and Kay era. Need Boeheim's ass to go too, but that's for a different story. But yeah, Coach K leaving.
But you're right, that is a different story. I hate him.
You know,
he's a strong word, but I cannot stand that dude. He's a piece of shit, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, but in my family, you know, we're Duke fans over here, and mm-hmm. K is the main reason for that. Just funny story, my dad started rooting for Duke purely to be a contrarian against his brother, who was a UNC fan and was like in love with Michael Jordan at the time.
Yeah.
And then it turned into, well, shit, Duke actually got really good. So it became a real rivalry, not just, I'm just pissing my brother off rooting against him.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously it passes down to me, you know, I'm alive for three of those championships watching them. So I actually partake in this is my team now, and I was born into it. So yeah, it's just, crazy time seeing that the end of an era. John Shire's got another recruiting class coming up, looking to be on par with the best that Coach K's ever gotten. People are comparing the next class to that 2018 class he got with Zion and RJ and Cam Reddish. So I think that the Duke brand should roll strong at least for a few more years after K's done. Mm-hmm. I think that's the kind of a testament to the program that he's built to where his successor can step in and keep the same level. A successor that, you know, played, won a championship under him as a player and hopes to do so as a coach as well. So, as a head coach, because he was also assistant on the 2015 team that won. So, yeah. I'm excited to see Duke roll Carolina one last time. Hmm. Coach K, you know, with the victory cigar. I don't know if he smokes or not, but he should after that one.
Yeah, he should if they won. They won't, but, you know, if they do.
I gave my little spiel how I feel like, in my extremely non-biased opinion, how Duke really is a top 9 team, I would say. One of the 9 teams, I say, has a legitimate chance to be, like, a favorite to win the championship. They have everything set for them. They just need to play to their potential, which is sometimes, you know, a problem with some teams, you know, playing to their potential. But that's what makes March fun, right?
Yeah, that is so, a problem, man.
Nothing less to do but sit back and watch it.
I'll be interested to see how that transition is. I forgot the guy's name already that y'all told me is the next coach, but I
John did Shire?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see because if he doesn't continue it, like, immediately, like it doesn't, you know, Duke will fall off pretty quick. You know, I don't think that's going to happen at all. Like, it had to be pretty bad, and I don't think that's what it's going to be. So, this is just some very hypothetical thing that I don't think is going to happen. But, and I would love that. I was just thinking when you were talking, it's interesting because I think UNC is on their 5th coach of my lifetime. And this is only going to be their 2nd coach in my lifetime. So, I know Dean Smith's older than him, but, dude, we went through a couple coaches right after Dean Smith left, man. And I don't think that'll happen at Duke. I'm sure
y'all... See, even then, like, if something like that happens, Dean Smith retired, right? And a couple years went by, and it was a little... I do know, like, the history of it. It was a little bit of a shaky time. And then you land Roy, and you're right back in business and win 3 more championships. So
yeah.
That thing, again, that's kind of like a testament to the program that, like, Dean built, right? Yeah. Where that the brand is still carrying on even after he's gone. You know, yeah. They got the Roy, was it the Roy Williams court at the Dean Smith Center? So,
yeah. They, see, if Dean had an assistant that wasn't as old as his ass, we would have never hit those shaky times because Bill Guthridge was the next coach. He was his assistant.
Right.
And so that would be like Phil Jackson passing shit off to like Tex Winter or somebody like that. But yeah. If the motherfucker's just as old as you, he ain't got but a few years left. So I don't even remember how many years Bill Guthridge coached. I believe we were still good. But he retired and then Matt Doherty. And anyway, this ain't about Carolina at this point. This is about Duke. But yeah, it just made me think of that, like that transition. But I highly doubt it will be that for Duke. It won't be, I don't think, any Matt Doherty years. So yeah.
Man, I was just going to get into some of the NBA talk.
Oh, yeah.
Also, so we got – so, yeah, NBA trade deadline, it passed. Obviously, the biggest trade that went down, we had Harden for Simmons. Some people view it as a win-win. Some people say the Sixers got over.
Oh, hell no, they didn't get over.
Some people say the Sixers got over because, I mean, have you seen the first few games that Harden's been playing?
Yeah. But here's why I say they didn't get over. For one, they gave up Seth Curry. That was a big one for me.
Seth Curry and Andre Drummond?
See, Andre Drummond, no one cares about that. But Seth Curry gave up a shooter, all right, that you didn't really have to give up because I feel like, for one, you could have got James Harden in the offseason. So you didn't have to really bend. Brooklyn, I think they were both in kind of similar positions where if they stayed the way they were, it was going to be kind of a lost season as far as Brooklyn still could have contended and Philly still could have contended, but it was more unlikely that they were going to get to the finals. And if they did, probably would lose. So they both were kind of in the same place, but the Sixers could have got James Harden in the offseason, right? And so, but of course, they want to get rid of Ben Simmons. And then on the Nets position, they want to get rid of James Harden before it really became a really big issue, a long-lasting issue. They're already dealing with Kyrie. So I'm like, y'all kind of in the same place, and y'all are still okay with Ben Simmons sitting his ass down. So obviously you wouldn't have got but so far in the playoffs that way, but y'all were good. You know what I'm saying? But you know, you could have kept probably Seth Curry. But I don't think anybody got over on anybody per se. I think everyone got kind of a better fit, to be honest. And Ben Simmons is going to be asked to do what he's good at there. Nothing else. As is constructed right now. The only thing is he going to be able to dunk? Is he going to be able to take a wide open dunk? And all that shit. So that's the thing when playoffs come around. And I don't know. Just from my own experience in life, putting something off or not doing something, it becomes harder to try to do when it is time to do it or when you decide you want to do it. And so now, whether he had mental health issues to the extreme that he, you know, it was perceived as or whatever it was being put out as, whether it was or wasn't, now he's got to play. And I think he probably got some anxiety about going out and playing because it's been so long now. It's almost like if you just jump back on that horse immediately type of thing. And so I'm interested to see what that's going to be like and when he's going to play. Because now they're saying something about his back and some other shit, and he might not play the playoffs if that or some shit like that. So
that's what I was getting ready to say about why I feel like people think the Sixers got over. Because a lot of the trade narrative has been, oh, what can the 76ers get for Ben Simmons? And that's what's been centered around, just because it's been the storyline going all the way back from the playoffs in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. What can you get for Ben Simmons? And they're like, oh, okay, well, you got, you know, Harden. Well, the real question is, what did you give up to get James Harden? Right? You want James Harden on your
Seth
team.
Curry, basically.
What, you gave up Seth Curry.
Yeah, Andre Drummond. That's it.
So you gave up Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, a guy that already didn't want to be there, in Ben Simmons, and might not even play. He hasn't played yet. And then your first-round pick for this year, mind you, you're not going to be a lottery pick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, late. Yeah.
But and see, then a first-round pick 5 years from now.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Damn. Wait, the Sixers gave that up?
Yeah, 2022 and 2027.
Is it protected? Probably not.
At this point, I don't even think it matters. It's 5 years from now. It's 2027.
Yeah, I'm just – all right, so because it's been a while since that happened, so I didn't remember exactly. But in the perspective of this year, they gave up Seth Curry and Andre Drummond for James Harden in the perspective of what they were doing, right? Yeah. But in the whole totality, obviously, it was Ben Simmons and all that. And then you gave up two draft picks, even though I know a lot of these draft picks don't mean shit, but they do mean shit when you're trying to, like, get other players in the future, even this summer and shit like that. So that's why they kind of matter to me, even though they don't really matter. It's almost like the bag of potato chips that's just full of air kind of thing. It's like, we know those fucking draft picks don't matter because really the lottery is the only, at this point, a lot of times quality players you're going to get. And even if the Sixers are in the lottery at that point, you know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm looking at. But at the same time, people are trading for all these draft picks. Like, that's been a thing, like, in the last, what, 3 to 5 years or whatever. Right. So it kind of does have a value, even though in the end, it never really does have a value most of the times. So that's why I was like, what? That was the only thing where I was like, it was nothing to really be mad at, but I was just like, if you're going to give the draft picks, keep Steph Curry then. Like, one or the other. Keep the draft picks and, you know, get rid of Steph Curry. But I would have preferred Steph Curry because he's a real player. He's not a hypothetical player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a real contributor. You know what I mean? So that was really my only problem with the trade, was like, yo, y'all should have kept Seth Curry. Y'all should have kept him, man. Because Harden's not really a spot-up shooter like that. If Embiid's cooking and shit like that, or even if Maxey is, penetrating, things like that. I mean, he can't shoot.
I think the emergence of Maxey is kind of why they were comfortable with giving up Curry. Because, I mean, Maxey is on the low, kind of makes him a big three kind of deal with the 76ers, which I wouldn't have said that before the season, but the way he's played into that role, the last three games, you know, they've won handily, and the three between Maxey, Harden, and Embiid, they look elite. They look playoff ready.
But I will say they weren't good teams, particularly good teams they played.
Not good teams, but that's how you want to look against not good teams. Minnesota and the Knicks twice.
Yeah, fair enough.
The last three games they played.
Fair enough. You're right. You got to at least beat those teams handedly. You're right. Which the Lakers don't know anything at about.
Oh man, I don't even want to talk about them. This
dude,
it's almost over.
In
it's
my head, over. I have a rant, but I'm gonna wait. It's either we talk about it this episode or another time.
Man, I have so many issues with the Lakers, but most of them are organizational. Not even like you can't have LeBron having the best stretch of his late Lakers career. Like, he's unheard of. I don't think I've ever seen LeBron play that well and the team be that bad as a whole.
Yeah. You know, fuck it, since we own it. All right. Because I was thinking about this week when I'm listening to all these sports pods and thinking about, you know, all the shit that's going on with the Lakers, them being pathetic. And I think at first I wanted to blame LeBron mostly, but I think I'm going to do 50-50 with the front office of the Lakers, or maybe it's a little more of the front office of the Lakers. You know what? I'll give it 60-40, front office of the Lakers and LeBron. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, as a front office, you got to have some balls, dude. Tell them no. No. No, you're not the GM. We got you here. I don't even know what his contract is, But if it wasn't an opt-out, then he going to have to suck it up, whatever decision you make, at least for a season. And he ain't got that many great options of where to go anyway, right? At least as we know right now, you know, a lot of things can happen in the summer or whatever, right? So you got to have the balls to be like, no, I'm trading for Buddy Hield, all right? I'm not fucking trading for Westbrook. Like, because we all knew that was a bad trade. And even me tried to talk myself into like, oh, LeBron will figure it out. But, fam. Westbrook's bad, man. He's just not good. And maybe we got fooled a little with what he did with the Wizards and shit or whatever. But come on, man. Dude is not good. And everyone kind of knew it wasn't going to work. And the only reason people even thought it was because of LeBron. That was the only reason. And so, and I blame LeBron, but I feel like it's the overall how I feel about LeBron in general at this point. Is I'm ready for that nigga to retire, dog. Because him and Clutch, they just, like, suck the life out of everywhere they go at this point and out of every issue. And it's so, like, contrived, everything they do. And it's so obvious. And it's just, like, you beg. You want this player empowerment shit. And I feel like the player empowerment shit is going overboard at this point in all of the NBA. But, you know, you get the power. You go there. You get all the young guys out. They made a horrible fucking trade. I feel like they gave way too much for Anthony Davis when they could have got him. Once again, they could have got him in a year or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get LeBron was getting older. It's no different than with Melo and the Knicks. Like you could have got Melo that offseason. Same thing with Anthony Davis. You gave up your whole future for Anthony Davis. You see what happened. Yeah, they got a championship. And that's more than most organizations will get. But we know the Lakers don't base like their success off other organizations. It's multiple mm-hmm. championships in a time period. And mm-hmm. so you fucked yourself as an organization doing that, right? So you have no wiggle room. So all you guys, these bunch of role players, and you get rid of all the decent role players you have. And then you fucking haggle over a few million for Alex Caruso, which I think a lot of people think was another big mistake in the offseason, aside from getting rid of your 3-and-D guy and your boards guy, you know, and Trez and all them for Westbrook. And now you stuck with that contract that you can't fucking move because no one wants to touch it. And then LeBron wants you to come back and get rid of that contract by adding on John Wall with another draft pick. You know what I'm saying? In the future, which I think John Wall's better than Russell Westbrook right now. He would add value to your team right now, but you don't give up shit for John Wall at this point. Not if you're smart. Yeah. Not if you're smart and not in the position the Lakers were in, you don't. So it's like, I'm fucking sick of LeBron and this shit where he thinks he's a good GM, because when you really think about it, he's never made good GM moves. Because people want to give him the whole Miami thing. That wasn't a GM move. That was them figuring out, okay, the salary cap is this and all this other shit. We can take less and team up. That's not really a GM thing. That was just a relationship. I'm cool with these two dudes and I can see this happening and I want to get out of Cleveland. Because Cleveland ain't done shit to help me. So, I'm sorry, but LeBron GM has not been a good GM. If we want
hard to argue when, you know, mostly it's betting on himself. It would not work if he's not betting on himself being who he is. But he's won championships, right? So he's going to get the credit for it, four of them, doing that. Building these teams centered around him and playing exactly the way he wants to play. And he's like, look, give me guys around me that will – play defense for me. Well, lately it's for him. but early on in Miami, LeBron was leading the defensive front for the most part. He was like, play defense with him. Stand and hit open threes when he gets them the ball. People that will rebound for him. People that will, you know, they're able to pick and roll with him, run the break with him. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your D-Wave, not pick and roll, like with him, like because – he wasn't running a lot of pick and roll, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
when he's away from the ball, you're Dwayne Wade, you're Kyrie's, you know, and on this, and now he's playing with, you know, bigger guys. You know, he's got Anthony Davis, you know, he had Kevin Love, he had Chris Bosh. He went all in. He's talking about GM moves to get J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, Tristan Thompson, and everyone was like, man,
no, LeBron
really wanted those guys. LeBron apparently personally wanted those guys, like, at any cost. Got them, like I said, won a championship. He basically beat He beat Cleveland over the head for them to give Tristan Thompson like $80 million.
That's another thing. It's like, look at what Tristan Thompson turned into. I get that he was.
They won a championship, though, so it's all forgiven.
Yeah.
You know?
But so, when you really look at it, it's like.
Could they have won more? Maybe.
Yeah. And what's my man? What's his name? He's down in New Orleans. He's doing a horrible job in New Orleans. But Griffin?
Griffin? Yeah.
It's like people might want to give him the, oh, he told him to trade Wiggins for Kevin Love. I think if any competent, and I maybe give him too much credit, any competent GM would see Kyrie, Wiggins, LeBron. It's a little heavy in the perimeter area, in the ball handling area. Probably should get a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think anyone would have came to that conclusion. So I don't give them that either. I will give them to J.R. Smith, but I don't remember what they gave up for him. J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert, I think that was a good, solid pickup. Yeah. But I don't – if you said at all costs, I don't remember what they gave up. But if he was pushing at all costs, nah. They did need J.R. And they probably needed Shumpert, even though he was a horrible fucking shooter.
But on the defensive side, you know, he was a – pretty good defender,
yeah,
especially at that point in his career.
If anything, just to have someone on a key guy so that their other key guys didn't have to, you know, expend that much energy, or could at least be like help defense and shit like that. I thought he was good. He just was horrible. He was like damn near like my man that was in OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Robeson, whatever the fuck the dude.
Oh, yeah, Andre Roberson, yeah.
Yeah. He was damn near like him, but he was an asset. I'll give him that. But all this other shit, nah. Trying to bring Wade to Cleveland, nope. Isaiah Thomas, nope. This is a bunch of misfires when you really look at it. And like you said, forgiven by championships, which, you know, we'll take that. Like, most organizations will take that, and that's fine. But when you look at it, it's like, nah, you shouldn't really be listening to him. And, yeah, but people are begging on LeBron to figure it out because he kind of has. But, dog, and overall, and if he ever becomes an owner, I hope he falls the fuck back.
On the basketball side?
I mean, I know he's not. But letting his GM really be the GM, because he's not good at it. At least not when he's involved in it. Now, maybe he'll be better at it when he's not in the equation. Like, he's not the player. And so he's not betting really on himself. He's betting on what he actually sees from these players. But, yeah, that was, like, part of, like, what I wanted to rant about. I was like, I'm kind of sick of this shit. And, oh, no, you know what else? And I'm done after this with him. I'm sick of hearing this shit about him and his son. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a damn. And I hope this doesn't start a trend of niggas staying in the league longer than they probably should. And I'm not even saying, obviously he's producing, but fam, I want you at your best on a good team, dog, if you gonna go out. Not this shit. And so, motherfuckers is trying to say Jason Tatum should stay in the league to play with his son and shit. And I'm like, nigga, fuck out of here. I don't want to hear that shit, all right? I don't care if you play with your son. It's not gonna move me one bit. And honestly, your son probably ain't gonna make the league. He's probably not getting drafted.
That's my number one thing about that is,
I'm trying to manipulate this shit.
I think he's trying to get his son in the league by any means necessary so he can just so he can say he did it. I don't think by his own merit. I mean, because Bronny looked like he's all right, but
it looked like he needed to go to college for at least 2-3 years, maybe a whole 4.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He looks like he's going to be all right. He does not look like it. And it's crazy that we got to, you know, talk about him. You know, he's not LeBron James. He's LeBron James Jr., but he's not the high school phenom that, oh man, he's day one NBA ready, but he's a sophomore. Like, this is not the same dude. We're looking at somebody that, like you said, probably needs 3-4 years of college, and probably after that is
will be a role player.
You know what I'm saying? Like they might be a practice, not practice squad, what might be a G League
type player. Back and like forth
he's,
type dude.
He's just okay. And it's okay to be just okay, but when you're talking about LeBron talking about, yeah, whoever drafts my son automatically is getting me. Well, now you kind of pumping your son up to where someone's going to reach.
He's Bronny, just
so you can get LeBron.
It's like, I almost can't be mad at it because white people do this shit all the time, but I just don't like it. Like, me personally, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I would love for Bronny to be good enough to make it to the NBA. But even if he was good right now enough to make it to the NBA, I don't give a fuck about you playing with your son, dog. Like, it's not going to – and I'm a parent, but it's not going to do anything. I'm not going to get a warm and fuzzy about it at all. Like, and he's been talking about this, and I think he's just been trying to manipulate the league and shit, which is cool. If you, you know, if they fall for it, then fine. That's their dumbass fault. But I'm just sick of that shit. I'm sick of hearing about it. And I'm ready for that nigga to retire, dog. Like, for real. Because I feel like he's taking up space in the NBA. Like, honestly. And that ain't really his fault. Maybe it's not his fault necessarily. You know, this is his league. But I'm ready for the next wave. I'm ready to crown somebody else the best player in the world. Like, he's not the best player at this point. But I'm ready for him to get out the way. You know what I'm saying? Get out the way, dog. But he
let someone else have their time.
Kind of thing. Let KD or whoever's going to be Giannis, whoever. Or let them fight for that. But, like, get out the way, dog. You sucking up air out of the room. That's how
I mean, I can't even blame him because, like I said, like, the last 9 games that, you know, he's played, the Lakers have only won 2 of them because they're the Lakers. But LeBron's been playing right on par with his career averages. He hasn't really fallen off yet. So, I mean, for some people, and obviously he's still chasing records and stuff like that. Like, he's going for the number one scoring record. I think part of
that Bronny shit has to do with that too, dog. I think it's partly about that more than it is about him. It's an excuse for him to chase that record, I think.
Yeah, motivation. I mean, you know, at some point you got to find ways to motivate yourself. I mean, when you're still trying to be competitive, I mean, you're 30-something years old. You've won the championship. You've won the MVPs. You've done basically everything that they ever set out for you to do for a career standpoint. And now all you got to do is find a way to – you're still producing, like I said, you're 27-9-8 or whatever, which is like his career averages. He's still hitting those at this age. Because that's what I always, you know, kind of use as a benchmark. Is like, there comes a point where you've been in the league for a long time, and once you start producing below your career average, it's kind of time to wrap it up, you know, at some point in the near future. And he hasn't hit that yet, so I can't even be mad at him for not saying he's going to wrap it up in the near future. He's still doing what we expect him to do. He's just not winning because his team sucks, and some of that is his fault.
I think – I'm not even, like, annoyed by he's still playing. It's all the other shit. It's the GM shit. It's the I want to play with my son shit. Because you're right. He is playing. I have no problem with him staying in the league as long as he's producing and shit. And obviously, he don't give a fuck what I think. He's going to do whatever he want to do. But that's where it annoys me as a fan, where it's just like, dog, you're using this to get this record. And it's not even about the record. It's about so he can feel like he put something else on his resume to compete with Michael Jordan. And it's just like, dude,
here we go.
People are.
I play with my son. Michael Jordan didn't play with his sons.
Yeah, it's that, but it's also that it gives me a chance to get that record so that I can say I'm the all time leading scorer, too. And here's my thing, man. Everybody's bunkered down. Either you think LeBron's the best player ever, or you think Michael Jordan is, or you think someone else is. He's not going to change anybody's mind. And I think that's what he doesn't get. No, people who love Michael Jordan. And just the nostalgia of like, yo, no one's done it better. They're not changing their mind no matter what you do, dog. You can win the next 5 years. They're not changing their mind. So that's, I think, also, because I think that's the underlying thing is like, it's to chase this record, but it's so that he can put it on his resume and be like, see, Michael Jordan didn't do that, you know? And it's like, Michael Jordan took a couple breaks and he went to school for like 3 years too.
So. I mean, if we really wanted to talk about it, like, Michael Jordan was, what, 13 years in the league, his career?
Something like that.
The years that he actually played?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to cut, and then we're talking about 2 years with the Wizards also, but I'm still counting. They count.
And he broke his leg, so he missed a whole bunch of time that 1 year, too.
Yeah, he basically missed that entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And – I mean, that was the year he came back at the end of the season and then dropped that 63.
Yo, in the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah, got swept. And I'm getting swept.
Yeah.
That series.
That's when Mike
Celtics won the ring, though.
He was Jesus.
That's, I mean, because you think about it, like, second year player coming in doing that, and to follow it up with what a lot of people believe is one of the greatest seasons of all time. You know, he had the 37 point average coming out the next year after that. It carries right in. That's how you build your leg. That's why I always say, like, between LeBron and all these other stars with Michael Jordan, the hardest thing you're going to beat with Michael Jordan, and the only one that I really think has a chance at, is Giannis right now, is because the media loves the linear ascension. It was, okay, he was down here, and then he got better. He never fell backwards from that. He just kept getting better. There was no falter or anything. Like, okay, like, he had a struggle, he overcame it. He had another struggle, a different struggle, he overcame it. He had a different struggle, and he overcame it and kept going up as he went on. You know, he was in high school. I mean, they love the whole cut from the varsity team, whatever, which I think is a slightly disingenuous story, because, I mean, it's Michael Jordan, but he was a sophomore going for varsity, and they needed a center, and he was a shooting guard. Like,
yeah.
They put him on JV, and he still averaged 40.
Like, yeah. I'm looking at his season by season stats, right?
Yeah.
The year he broke his foot, he only played 18 games. And then when he came back that year, he only played 17 games and shit. So, and then he had those breaks and shit like that. You're right about that. That whole high school thing. Man, people, I don't hate the underdog, but I don't connect. I've heard that story so many times.
You can't manufacture an underdog where there isn't one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's an underdog, but I mean, whatever. That's what, you know, the shit that gives him the chip on his shoulder. You know, he goes to UNC, wins a championship his freshman year, then becomes player of the year, right?
If I'm not mistaken, player of the year twice.
Then he gets snubbed for the first overall pick, right? Another self-manufactured underdog chip that he holds on. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so he uses that and becomes rookie of the year, and then goes from that to, like you say, broke his leg and comes back. 37 point average, and then the year after that, defensive player of the year and MVP, and like that's in a 4 year span. You know, he's rookie of the year, he broke his leg, came back, and then had that 63 point playoff, and then he comes back 37 points average in 87, then 88, he's literally wins every award imaginable. That's his first 4 years. Like, that's the kind of linear ascension that people are like, wow, this is the greatest player I've ever seen. Not, I mean, and he's still losing the playoffs, but then he's like, everyone's like, okay, he got over that hump. And then he just won six of the next 8 years, rings. Yo, there's nothing that, like, for a story wise, like, you can't beat that story. It just, it's a nice, like, conclusion to it. It's not like LeBron, like, okay, well, LeBron has all these expectations, and, you know, he was getting out the first round. Cool. He never lost in the first round. But then, you know, he was like, LeBron hit that wall that everyone expected him to hit. He got over it, got to the finals, lost. Got back to the finals a couple years later, lost. Now it's looking like, okay, well, he gets to the finals and wins. Back to back. Cool. If he would have kept that up, I don't think you would hear anything from him. But obviously, he gets back to the finals again, loses. Gets back to the finals like five, six more times after that. I think it was five times after that, and won twice. Yeah. That's not the kind of linear ascension. It's like, okay, he's getting there a lot, but he's still losing. So what's the holdup? You're the greatest player with this greatest story, or you're not, to some people.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't have that greatest story, even though, you know, because it's too much losing and involved in that story for some people to consider him the greatest player. I was like, well, my greatest player ain't got a losing record in the finals. That's what a lot of people going to say.
Yeah, because even Kobe's like 5-2, I think, in the finals.
Yeah.
And at least – and, like, he redeemed, like –
his last two wins were, you know, it's finality in that.
Yeah. So. So you put me on a lot of shit just now, because when I pulled up his season by season stats, so first of all, I didn't know he averaged that much, and definitely not coming off the leg. But yo, he's got the season after that 35, the season after that 32, 33, 31, 30, 32, and then slowed down, then it went 30. Like, that's crazy, and I didn't even know he did that. And hold on. The year when they had him on that minutes restriction, because you remember from The Last Dance, that whole beefing about the minutes restriction, right?
Yeah.
He had a minutes restriction, right? 25 minutes a game, averaging 22.7.
I mean, come on, man.
Dog. Dog. You can't make
I had a whole tweet thread on Twitter. And see, what's crazy is I've looked at this so much because I engage in this conversation way too much on Twitter. I'm not even looking at the stats right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'm just talking off the top of my head. So if I say something wrong, correct me. But when you look at Jordan in the first 40-ish games, if I remember, of his Wizards career, like, bro was averaging like 23-4 and like 2 or whatever. He was giving you like mid-tier all-star numbers at like age 39. Mm-hmm. Then his knee was
with more weight. With more weight on. Yeah, because I don't
have. And like, he had the Wizards at a winning record when his knee got hurt. I think they were like 22-21 or some shit like that, or 21-20. Like, he had them above 500. And that, if everyone remembers, that Wizards team was the Kwame Brown team. They were fucking garbage.
Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of guys who are decent players that off the top of my head on that team, but nobody like to where you're like, oh yeah, they're gonna lead them somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, Rip Hamilton's, and this is like no disrespect to any of these guys, Larry Hughes. And then it gets worse after that. Then it's just like lesser role players. You know what I mean? Or players that you might have heard of, but probably not, or like vaguely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I can't look up, or at least I don't have the time to try to find it. But his first year with the Wizards, 22.9, the second year 20. Like, that's great. For someone
and after his knee got hurt, I'm talking about the first like 40 something games.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Like, you don't make me pull it up again, because I did like a whole like argument on Twitter over it. I was like, yo, like, that's the most impressive accomplishment I think I've ever seen. It's his first like 41, 42 games when he came back with the Wizards. I think I never, because I was alive and I remember that actually. That, because I remember Michael Jordan on the Wizards. That's my real only memory of watching Michael Jordan play, being that I was born in 96.
Oh, yeah. Also, he scored 51 points.
On the Hornets.
At that age. Yeah. At that age. So, salute. I'm not even trying to make the LeBron and them argument, but I'm just, for the people who just like little LeBron stands, like, just understand you're arguing, like, with air, because how you feel about LeBron's out, the other people feel about MJ, and you're not going to change any minds.
And now we have the Kobe entering that equation also. Just like I said, the people that were too young, like myself, people that were too young to really watch Michael Jordan, they got to watch Kobe. And that was that slight little gap between Jordan and LeBron. So they're going to stick with that. And then now you got the kids. There's kids right now that I think would put Steph Curry as their GOAT over LeBron or Kobe.
Yeah.
And you can make an argument for that, you know? Well, at least for their generation. So, and I think Giannis is going to be that next one, because, I mean, like, the same thing I'm talking about, like, career ascension. Giannis came from project player to putting on weight, all-star, defensive player of the year, like, gradually ascending, multiple-time MVP, champion. All he has to do is continue to win championships, and I think Giannis is literally right there. It's going to be some extremely uncomfortable conversations when it comes to LeBron, Jordan, Kobe, because you're going to have to kick one of them three out, and Giannis is going to be top three, and someone's going to cry very hard.
So he's just going to skip KD?
Yes.
Hey, you know, when we're like 70, 80 years old, God, Lord willing, we're going to be so mad at the basketball discussions that people like our age and younger are having.
Are going to forget the KDs and Mellos and shit.
Yeah. Dog, it's just going to be Kobe they might be doing Kobe like some try to do Michael Jordan and some of the other people. It's just going to be ugly. So we might as well just get used to that. That's what it's going to be.
We got the benefit of internet now.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, man. Them old heads before, man, them niggas was talking out they ass in the barbershop. They just standing there talking. They ain't pulling up no stat. Ain't pulling up nothing. Just that boy nice. Yeah. I remember that boy. That boy was nice.
Yeah. Shit, man. But yeah, man. Pipe down, LeBron.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Pickup Podcast. Find us on Twitter at @pickup_podcast. Find us on Instagram at @pickup_podcast. Find us on Facebook at the Pickup Podcast. Get at us.